Hey, if you brought your Bibles here today, I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 24. We're running a little behind here in this service. I want to catch up. Proverbs chapter 24. The title of this talk here today, and we've got all the scriptures for you on the screen. We've got them for you on the app in the follow along with the message section on our app. If you haven't downloaded the Journey Church app, download it. It's really cool. You can hear about events. Everything that we're doing on there is there. But the title of this talk here today is The Opportunity of a Lifetime. The Opportunity of a Lifetime. And I'd like to thank some commentaries, Matthew Henry's commentary, William Barclay's commentary, just phenomenal commentaries that attributed to portions of this talk here during my study. Charlotte Gamble, who pastors a wonderful church in the UK, her influence on a portion of this talk. Man, we have so many rich things available to us as pastors today in creating messages that we feel like God's put on our heart. But the opportunity of a lifetime. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much just for the opportunity to share your word. And I pray, God, as we do that, as we hear your word, that we would make your word habit. God, that we would install it into our lives, our marriages, our decisions, our habits. God, let us not just be hearers, let us be doers, which is a big heart behind Scripture. Guide me, I pray, every word I speak, that it would be your word and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love the book of Proverbs, and Solomon, who's the author of Proverbs, as you know, wisdom defined this man. If you're ever seeking wisdom in your life, hang out with this book, and it will most certainly give you wisdom. Proverbs chapter 24, I want to look at verses 30 through 34. Really, really amazing passage of Scripture, and it says this. This is Solomon talking, and he says, I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles or weeds, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. He's basically staring at what he is seeing. And he says, I looked and received instruction. And this is what he received from the Lord. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Solomon is painting an incredible picture here, and I want us to get it. Solomon is giving us quite a visual here. He's giving us a visual of a person that has been given a field, that has been given a vineyard, that has been given a portion of property, a piece of land that is beaming with potential. And this person has been entrusted with the responsibility to tend what it is that he has been given. This person has been entrusted with the responsibility to cultivate what it is that he's been given, to watch what it is that he's been given, to take care of what it is that he's been given of this place. Because within it, there is overwhelming opportunity for harvest, for income streams for his life, for profit in his life, for blessing, for provision for his life. But you don't see that. Because in verses 30 through 31, Solomon is saying what he is seeing, and it is not being tended. This place is not being cultivated. It is not being watched over. It has not been taken care of. Instead, Solomon says, I see thorns overgrown all over the place. I see weeds all over the ground. I see broken down walls. I see poverty, not promise. I don't see blessing. I see broken. In a place that should be used for its potential, there is no potential to be seen. And in the next two verses, we see why this is. We see the reason this place is broken down. And it's not because some great enemy came in and straight up destroyed the place, which is what you would think if you saw a vineyard with overgrown thorns, weeds all over the place, and broken down walls. No. It's not because of that. It's not because somebody came in and destroyed it. It's not because of some outside attack. We see the reason for this vineyard, this promising piece of land, so broken is simply because of what is going on inside of the man. Something happened inside of this man called a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And before he knew it, you see this man who was originally given such potential to be used for great gain in his life is now, in his reality, actually great loss. What a powerful piece of scripture that I believe applies to our lives in a powerful way. A call from the very heart of scripture to us, for us, to own what it is that he has given us. You see, if you've been given a marriage, own it. If you've been entrusted with a marriage, tend it. Watch over it. Care for it. Don't take a break from it. Don't sleep on it. Don't allow slumber inside of it. Don't fold your hands 1 second. Own what it is that God has given you. Somebody say a good amen. If you've been given the opportunity to parent, own it, tend it, cultivate it. If you've been given a business, if you've been given a job, tend to it, watch over it, invest in it. If you've been given freedom from addiction, then you better own that freedom. You better take care of that freedom. You better cultivate that freedom. You better watch over that freedom. Own what it is that God has given you. Look at your neighbor and say, you better own it. Amen. Don't sleep. Don't slumber. Don't fold your hands on it, because before you know it, where you once looked and saw tremendous promise and potential, in the blink of an eye, you can see thorns and weeds and broken down walls. There's an old saying, there ain't no rest for the wicked. I mean, no, life never quits coming. The winds never stop blowing. The storms will never stop coming through. We can't give up either in our lives. How many know that success in any area of life takes hard work? Work. It takes all of you. It requires everything from you. Why? Because they are your areas of life. Those areas are areas of your life that have been given to you to own. Nobody can own it for you. Your siblings in Christ can't own it for you. Only you can own it, friends. Anybody ever hula hoop before? I'm not about to because I can't. I've always wanted to, so if you are good and you have the ability to instruct me and to get my hips to be able to do this, I would love that lesson. Amen. But it's as simple as this. A hula hoop usually is just your reach, you know. It's a circle that kind of almost, it's what was within reach of me. What is it that God has put inside of your life for you to take care of? This space right here is my space. It's not your space, it's my space. God has given me things to take care of. Allow this hula hoop, if you will, to represent your zone, your area of life that has been entrusted to you. Like your for me, just to give you, like for me, here's what's in my zone. God has put in my zone for me to own, for me to watch over, for me to take care of, for me to cultivate, for me to tend. a marriage. God has put a marriage in my zone. God has put kids in my zone. God has put Journey Church in my zone. God has put another kid for me to own in my zone. I still can't believe it. God has put a dream center in my area to own. God has put an orphanage in my area to own, to tend, to grow, to commit my life. And God is saying, Jesse, every day, go for it. Own it. I've given it to you. Take care of it. And don't allow it to spoil or waste away. Don't sleep on it. Don't slumber inside of it. Don't fold your hands even for a second to rest. Take care of what it is that I've entrusted to you. Can I ask you a question? What's in your hula hoop? What's in your zone? In the seats in front of you, there's a little piece of paper. I want you, if you would, to grab it, that says my zone. What is in your zone? And if you don't have a pen, raise your hand. We've got ushers that will rush to you as fast as they can to get you a pen, because here's what I want us to do. I want us to write down in this moment. We're going to put 60 seconds on the clock here in just a moment. And I want you to take 60 seconds and just think through what it is that God has entrusted into your life. Maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's parenting, whatever it is, a job. I want you to write that down. 60 seconds on the clock. Let's go. Hurry up. That's why we have the music so fast-paced. Right. Amen. What is it that God has given you to take care of? Seconds. What promises has he given you? What dream has he given you? Amen. Pencils down. Amen. What has God given you to take care of? You're looking at some of it on your paper right now. And hear me, Journey Church, if you're not careful, what does verse 33 say? Can we put that up there, Darren? Verse 33. What does it say? A what? A little sleep. A little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Do you see a repeated word in here? Little. I mean, come on. It's just a little sleep. It's just a little slumber. It's just a little folding of the hands. I think we're so often blind to the power of a little. Little can and many times does have mammoth size power. Galatians chapter 5 verse 9 says, a little yeast. A what? Little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. A little yeast, a little distraction can alter the entire course of one's life, of one's goals, of one's dreams. A little distraction can do that. You know me. I have a problem with food. I love food. And my love for food has caused me great gain in my life. Now you may look at me and say, how? Because you look so cut from heaven. I don't even see it. It's because I'm hiding it really well. You have no idea. I hear my button screaming on the inside of this shirt right now. Come on, hold it together. Amen. It's just one of those things where I need to lose weight, and there's this app that comes on the iPhone, I think it's on Android too, called Lose It. Have I ever heard of this app? Check the app out. It's really cool. And what I find out when I use the Lose It app, when I use it, I lose it. When I use it, I lose it. I mean, it makes me count calories, it makes me type in, and it has every food in the world, exactly what calorie count it is, and it's just a way to say, hey, listen, you don't need to be eating what you're eating. If you want to lose X amount of weight by this time, this is how many calories you get and all that stuff. And I find myself, when I'm doing it, I'm losing it. When I'm using it, I'm losing it. But I remember I was doing it for about 3 months, and then one trip to McDonald's to take advantage of the McPick 2. I was like, you can get a fish fillet and a quarter pounder with cheese for $5. Well, I don't want to lose money on this, so let's go. Amen. I haven't used that app since that moment. A little sleep. A little slumber. Most of the time, all it takes is one time. One distraction. One piece of gossip. One Sunday to sleep in. One break from serving. One week where I won't pay my tithes. One drink. One drag. One inappropriate look at another person of the opposite sex. One day of indulging my flesh. Come on, after all, I've earned it. I've worked hard. I'm here to tell you from experience that one little distraction can alter the entire course of one's life, one's goals, one's dreams. Journey, church, listen. Create a culture around your life that tends what it is that is in your life. Stay faithful to God's commands in your life. Stay faithful to what it is that He has given you. Take care of it. Put your blood, your sweat, and tears into it. I'm not up here touting these truths from a place of ignorance and inexperience. I know these struggles. Got that paper? I want you to, on the outside of that paper, on the outside of the circle on that paper, you need to write these words. No sleep. No slumber. No folding my hands. No sleep. No slumber. No folding my hands. Amen. How many say that's some good preaching right there? Amen. You know, what I love about this portion of Scripture is that Solomon is relating this truth to our lives through a vineyard. Everybody say vineyard. He's relating this truth through our lives through a vineyard. And I started to dig into vineyards. And vineyards, I don't know if you know this, because I mean, we got some vineyards here in Missouri. I mean, California has a lot of vineyards out there. I started to dig into vineyards, and vineyards require constant work, constant pruning, constant care, constant, watch me now, sowing, constant sowing. And what the man in the vineyard did in this passage of Scripture is he stopped tending, he stopped caring, he stopped investing, watch this, he stopped sowing, and in place of the seed came weeds. That's good truth for your life right there. Now, I'm going to make a left turn with this message. And I want you to stay on board with me with what I'm about to say. I want you to keep tracking with me. Allow me to make the parallel, if you would, with what is now not just in your zone as an individual, but what is in our zone, what is in the zone of Journey Church. What we need to accomplish as a church. And what we believe we need to act on this spring and this summer as Journey Church. There's something that we need to own in our zone that is here on this campus. And it's called the 2016 Dream. We've shared this with you, the tail end of last year. You see, we're here now in this building. Amen. But how many know we're not done now in this building? No amens there. All right. We're not done in this building. And I don't know actually that we'll ever be done. There's so much vision that God has placed on us as a church. But we're not done. Even though we're here, we're not there yet. And what I mean by that is, Darren, I want you, if you would, just to put what it is that I see here on the screen. You see, what I'm looking at right now is, I believe God today, Journey Church, is calling us to own what it is that He has given us. This building, this campus is a miracle of His provision. He has given this to us. What I'm looking at right now is an area of this church that cannot have thorns growing up on it. An area of this church that cannot have weeds growing on its ground. An area of this church that cannot have broken walls surrounding it. I'm talking about the future wing of Journey Kids. A zone that God has called us to own. You got to see what I see right now. Many people would say, I see broken things. I see construction areas. I see trash. I can't even see the whole thing because it's not lit up. Let me tell you what I see. I see opportunity. I see promise. I see potential. I see investment. I see kids filling this area, coming to know God, kids. Some that go home to hell every morning. Some kids don't even have families that attend this church, but families in this church take those kids to this church, and this is the only heaven that they get. This is the only happiness that they experience. I see a thriving children's ministry in here. How many believe that Journey Kids needs to be a thriving children's ministry at Journey Church? A zone that God has called us to own. Many would argue that one of the most, some would argue the most important ministry in the church today is children's ministry. More so than anything else. I like what Bill Wilson says, it's a whole lot easier to build boys and girls than it is to repair men and women. Amen. To start at the starting block. I believe it is the most important ministry in the local church today, and here's why. You see, if I were to take the human life, and I studied this in the context of psychology, starting at age zero, and then you've got, let's say, age 30, and then let's just go 75 here. And you were to take the cognitive development of the human being right here. We never, and you know what I mean when I say cognitive, it's how we construct the thought process. It's how we make decisions. It's how we form opinions. It's how we create habits. It's how we problem solve. The cognitive development of the human being always is growing. But psychologists have revealed this when it comes to, watch this, of the moral development of the human being. The moral development of a human being has peaked at age 10. which means, and this is every psychologist that has put a study on what we do as people, that by age 10, our morals have been set. Our morals have been cemented. This is why I believe that children's ministry is the most important ministry in the church. How many would say a good amen to that? It's why we need to own this zone. By finishing this wing, and I know we're tired. Some of you right now are like, oh, here we go again. I know we're tired. I know we've just worked our butts off to get to this point right here. And trust me, I want to take a break. But I just keep hearing this scripture screaming at my heart when I pray. Don't sleep. Don't slumber. Don't fold your hands, because we have a harvest that's waiting to come out of the ground over there. And I asked our staff team about it. And they're like, no, we can't stop. It's our call. Let's do this. Matter of fact, I want our kids. Steve, can we get our kids? I don't care what, just come in there, they'll see you, they'll be like, wow, this guy's amazing and tall. Bring him out here. Let's do this journey, church. Ushers, I want us, if we would, they've got pledge forms. And I want to do this. I want to give you an opportunity today to stand with us, to stand with what it is that is in our zone. And so right now down the aisles are going, and down the seats are going to come a piece of paper. I want you, if you would, just to grab it just for a second. Hold on to it. I don't want you to write anything on it yet. Come here, guys. Come on up here. Come here. I want you to sit right along this edge here. Let's welcome our kids into the service. Amen. We love our kids. Now, I just want to punch the awkward in the face right now. Hopefully nobody's name is awkward. Amen. I want to punch the awkward in the face for those of you right now that are like, look at what this dude is doing. Using kids to raise money. That is so sad. That's not what I'm going to do. Going, oh, look at the sad little faces of the kids here today. Please, won't you build me a wing, please? No, it's not what I'm doing. Everybody smile. Our kids are happy kids. This is so beyond that religious criticism. This is an opportunity to invest in the next generation. This is the opportunity of a lifetime. Because as we just shown right here, listen to me, the opportunity of a lifetime can only be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. I don't think we think about that when it comes to the opportunity of a lifetime. That opportunity has a lifetime. And if we're not sowing into the lifetime of the opportunity, we will miss the opportunity of a lifetime. And this is an area of our church, Journey Church, that we cannot allow thorns to grow in, that we cannot allow weeds on its grounds, that we cannot allow broken down walls. This is about investing into the future of this generation that God has, watch me now, entrusted us with. And this church has been so faithful in your giving. We have raised nearly $200,000 to date in the last couple of years to have what it is that we have now. What an amazing thing. Amen. We need to give some praise to God for that. Right there. Amen. That's a lot right there. For Journey Church, that's a lot for us right there. We ought to be proud of that. Incredible investment of sacrifice. And that's allowed us to have a down payment on this property, allowed us to have renovation projects underway to finish this area and our offices, which our kids are co-using right now. I still don't have an office at this church in this wing. My daughter's using my office before me. Amen. It's one of those things where what we have raised to date has allowed us, along with some of our general fund dollars through the faithful tithes of this church, to be able to even, we're getting contracts together for projects that haven't even been underway yet, but we're paying for, like our parking lot and just some key areas that have to be done for safety in this area. Finishing our floors and our kitchen and all that good stuff. We've used money to get the Dream Center going and getting that ready. We're getting ready to create corporate fundraising strategies to raise money for our operating budget this fall so that we can have the recovery home going by the fall of 2017. But now we're here with that wing that's waiting to be finished. And I'm asking you with great excitement and great humility. I don't know if those two words go together, great humility. But I'm asking you with humility to not sleep with your sowing, to keep going with us. We fuel a lot in the zone of our church. What an impact we make here through this church. And I'm asking you to invest into, watch me now, the opportunity of a lifetime. These kids are amazing. I asked Danny, amazing children's pastor in this church. How many would agree with me on that? Amen. Amen. He's a great, great children's pastor. I asked him a couple of weeks ago, I was like, can you just ask the kids what Journey Kids means to them? What this children's ministry means? And this is what these guys did. You guys remember doing this stuff with these papers? Like, this is what they, some of them wrote. Check this out, and I can't read them all. But some of the ones that I read, like this one right here, Trace, said, church had made me know who God is. It also got me saved, and I was baptized. How many think that is just awesome right there? That is so good. This next one from Jordan said, Torch. That's what he calls church. Amen. I like that. Torch, help me be more with the Lord. Then he drew a diagram. Me plus the Lord equals I am more with the Lord. My God, Jordan, that's a sermon illustration right there. Amen, that's good. Where's Jordan? Is he here? Or is he in the next service? I'm going to get on him because he should have gave that to me to preach before he did. Amen. That's good stuff. Me plus the Lord equals I am more with the Lord. This next one I got said this. I love this. I got saved and made friends. And even drew a picture. There they are getting saved, and there's their friends that got their back. I think that's so awesome right there. Oh, man, that is precious. And lastly, like I said, I don't have time to read them all, but it says this. This is from Talia, who said, I leave knowing God loves me. And I also leave knowing more about God than I did before. This is what we do. This is taking care of what God has entrusted us with. And what we're doing is getting ready to create a space for them. And with the pledge forms that you've been given, I want to ask you today to help us raise the pledge support. I want to meet the pledged mark today. It's going to cost us $50,000 to finish that wing. And for those of you that know construction, for about 6,000 to 7,000 square feet of space, $50,000 is nothing. We've already got our HVAC contracts done. We've got many contracts done. This is just materials and volunteer help to finish this wing, which we believe God wants us to have done before the school year starts this fall. And so what we're asking you to do is not carry the load alone, but to carry it with us. What is it that you and your family could give above your normal giving to help us meet this need in our church? What is it? Only you could give that amount. I'm not going to be up here and tout amounts or say amounts. Only you could know what that amount is. But I'm here to say if we all did our part, we could not only meet this goal but exceed this goal and give our kids more and more than they ever could have dreamed. I don't want anybody to disqualify themselves in this room because maybe you're in this room today and you say, I don't have kids. This just isn't an area of passion. Listen, can I say this? I don't believe adult Christians should measure the success of the health of their local church based exclusively on how well it serves the adult population. We are a part of handing the baton down, handing it on to the next generation. So right here in this moment, I want to ask our communion teams if they would to come. And I want to ask you guys if you would just to stand right here. Stand right here on the floor if you guys would. You guys are so awesome. We appreciate you being here. And I'm going to give you guys these buckets because I think it'd be so cool just so you guys can have the opportunity to invest into these kids. But with our pledge forms, you go ahead and fill out that amount. Maybe you're in this room and you're like, I can't think like that on the spot. I need to pray more. That's okay. Take it home and you can hand it in here in the coming weeks. We totally understand that as well. But if you're here and you're just like, I know what we can do. I know what God is putting on our heart to do. And again, we're not asking for you to give that here in this moment. We're asking, I believe it says on your forms, for those pledges to be fulfilled by the end of May so that we can begin to do this for our kids. How many know a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and life will begin to have its impact? And we don't want that to happen in this area. And so right here in this moment with our pledge forms filled out, or like I said, if you need to take yours home and pray with it a little bit more, maybe your spouse isn't here and you're like, we always need to talk about that, pray about it, that's okay. But I want us, if we would, as we come today, I want us, let's stand right now here in this moment. And we're going to have the ushers dismiss, guys, if it's okay, from the back to the front. And as we come down, if you've got your pledge form ready, I want you, if you would, to put it in the bucket that you see lined up here. And then you can go left or right, take communion, head back to your seat, and just take a moment and thank the Lord for who He is and what He's done for you and your life. Amen. How many are excited about the future of our church? Amen. I'm so excited. You kids excited? You better be. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much just for the opportunity to be here today in this moment, to take a moment and invest, God, into the next generation. Father, I thank you for the future. I thank you, God, for what it is that you have entrusted to us, God, with this children's ministry.